are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this crossover episode. The host of Locked On Rams, Fair Motter, will be my guest today. We are going to be checking in with a division rival. How's the offseason gone in Los Angeles? Getting to know the 49ers 2019 opponents a little bit better this offseason. It's important to know who you're playing. And when you get in that argument, especially when it's, you know, San Francisco, LA teams, you're going to run into a lot of Rams fans being in California, being a 49ers fan, and you got to be well prepared for that argument. And right now, the scoreboard belongs to LA, so you got to be prepared to come with some other arguments when you're talking to people like that. So let's bring Brad on the show, talk a little bit about the Rams and see where the 49ers and Rams are at going into 2019. Bear, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining the show.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. And, you know, I love hearing you talk about a lot of Rams fans that you might run into in California, because there's a lot of recent polls coming out that put us number 32 as, you know, the fan base in the NFL. So to hear that we've got some fans up in Northern California makes Rams Nation feel pretty good.
A new venue going up for the Rams and Chargers, a shared venue there in Los Angeles. I don't know how loud it's going to be at that new stadium, but it's right in the flight path because at least once a day, somebody on my timeline tweets out a stadium construction update from their airplane. That's going to be an interesting one on game day. Maybe you can plan some flights through when the 49ers are on offense. Maybe there'll be a home field advantage. I don't know, but it seems to be right in the flight path in LA.
It's crazy because I'm tempted every time I fly in and out of LA to post that picture, but I'm like, everyone's seen it. You said on the timeline, every day you pull up, there's somebody doing it. And I'm like, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be, but that was a good picture. Well, it's the same as the other guys that sitting three rows behind me. So, but it is, it's coming along and you're right. I'm curious that myself, how they're going to, if they're going to change things up, because it flies right over the top, right on the outside of it. But, it's looking awesome. And it's taking the shape of, it looks like the Rams logo and, maybe a little subtle jab at the Chargers there. But we're excited out here to get that going, because the Coliseum is cool for the history books. But go spend a Sunday there, and it's not the best place to try to get in and out of. And just the experience isn't really there.
And how many years before the Chargers go back to San Diego?
Exactly. I mean, if you ask, a lot of people here, it's already a couple of years too late. They're winning and they're going to continue to win over the next couple of years. They're really building something there too. It just sucks for them with the division with, the Chiefs that they're in. I mean, they're looking at their record last year and even, beating the Chiefs in the regular season at one point. I mean, you would think they would have gotten a chance to get some home playoff games throughout, but just not in their books there. And you're right. How much longer are they going to last here? And they seem to really want to push and stay here, obviously, for the money. But they have not been embraced like the Rams were. It's always that thing, first market. The Rams were here before anyway, and then got here a year before they did. And they are far, far, far behind the race here.
Yeah, that's got to be tough for the Chargers. They do have some fans in Southern California, but it just seemed like a weird situation. And I don't know. It's always the weird economics and the owners that have their own agendas when it comes to teams moving around the country. But, man, it just didn't seem right, and I don't know if it'll stick for the Chargers, but it just seems like the Rams are destined to own that market. But LA needs to have a team too, so and at least the Rams were there before. But in my opinion, St. Louis, you don't get a team back, you lose a franchise. That's it. LA shouldn't have gotten a team back. You're done. You're dead. Go to Canada with those teams. I don't know. Let's talk about the schedule first, because Week 6 is the first division opponent the 49ers have, and it is in LA against the Rams. And I think that's going to be a big litmus test to where the 49ers are. And they've got some tough matchups before that. They've got the early Week 4 bye. They've got the Browns that are supposed to be good. We'll see what happens there. It's kind of like 49ers fans know what that's like, to be a little bit ahead of the curve with the hype, because the 49ers had a lot of hype going into last year and they weren't quite ready for prime time. I think the Browns roster as a whole might be a little deeper, a little better than the 49ers were coming in last year. So I think they look like they're a little bit better off. And I understand why the hype is there for the Browns. So we'll see what they look like in Week 5. 2 weeks on the road to start the season for the 49ers in Tampa and in Cincinnati. They come back home to play their first game against the Steelers. But that week six matchup, I think that's going to be the huge test to see where the 49ers are against the Rams, who have had their number, against the Rams who own the division right now. What kind of team are the 49ers going to roll up on week six in LA? Is this a team that is locked and reloaded and ready to make another run? Anything about this offseason that gets you worried about the Rams in 2019?
Yeah, you know, I actually feel really good about it. You know, I think a lot of people are a lot more concerned about Todd Gurley's knee than I am and some of the people in the media here. I think that that's the biggest argument in the outlets over here is, you know, how serious are you taking Todd Gurley's knee and how are you not, you know? And for me, I think from looking at his offseason activity and his the way he's approached things and talked, just the concern level. I mean, he was a couple weeks ago, he was on a bouncy house doing backflips. And if you're a pro and you're making big money, you would know I should not be doing this with my knee. And maybe he's just reckless. And some people, you know, my co-host was saying that freaks me out. And I was thinking that gives me confidence because, you know, he's sitting here going, I'm having a great time. I trust my knee. You know, it's not as big a deal as everyone thinks. So I think our offense is set there. We've got Cooper Kupp coming back. You know, we've added some really good veterans to the defense. We've gotten some guys healthy that were kind of banged up after a long season. So I think they've done well as far as, you know, the year before they went out and made all these big splashes, got Ndamukong Suh. They made the trades for Peters and Tlaib. And so it was a little chill this offseason, but they kind of plugged the right holes as far as on the roster. And I think they're going to be fine there. And as you're talking about that week six matchup, you know, the Rams start on the road with the Panthers. They've got that crazy matchup versus the Saints in week two, which we are all just can't wait for, really, the rematch of the NFC Championship game. And then you talked about, you know, those Browns, and, you know, we're going out to Cleveland week three to test that hype. And our first division game comes after a short week versus we go from the Bucks week four to a Thursday night football game up on the road to Seattle to come back after a little bit more rest to play you guys. So back-to-back division games. And at that point, you know, I'm really expecting to be, you know, I know this, it sounds, you know, a little bold, but either undefeated or having one loss. I think this team is going to be just as good as it was last year. And Sean McVay is really good, kind of that Belichick week-to-week focus. So I think he'll have them ready for all those ball games early in the season. You saw us get off to a really hot start last year. I think they're going to try to take that momentum. But got a couple of young guys on the offensive line that might make things interesting as far as trying to continue the success from last year on the ground and protecting Goff. So anything can happen. But I think coming into that game, you're looking at a really good Rams team that's coming home after a trip up in the Pacific Northwest.
You mentioned the offensive line there, and I do want to get into some of that stuff. And just quickly looking ahead to the Week 16 matchup in Santa Clara, Levi's Stadium, that is the to-be-decided Saturday or Sunday flex game. And I think that's going to be telling to how this season has gone, most likely on the 49ers end of things. And what kind of team are we going to see there? Is this going to be a matchup for the division? There's playoff implications in Week 16. That's going to be a fun one that I hope is a fun one and is not flexed out in the 49ers have gone in the tank like they did the last two seasons. I'm more confident this time that the 49ers are going to be there at the end.
Yeah, it definitely looks like this year is starting to hopefully set up for a better matchup near the end of the year. The football junkie in me wants it to be a great game, wants to be primetime, wants to be fighting for tickets to figure out, you know, packed house. This is going to be a crazy environment. But the realist in me kind of also says, hey, that's starting to rest the starters, starting to tune up for the playoffs. Yeah. Last year, you saw Jared Goff in the last couple games really refine himself. They struggled in that, like, you know, 13 to 15 and 16 and 17. They really pulled it together and kind of got on track for the Super Bowl push. So at the end of the day, I look and it's Niners Cardinals. And I, you know, our two games to finish the season. And I really look at it as, man, you know, Todd Gurley can get some extra knee rest right there. But at the end of the day, I'm a football junkie and I want to see some really competitive football. So maybe that week 16 matchup versus the 49ers will be, you know, that heated battle in the NFC West. And then week 17, we'll still be able to sit versus the Cardinals. Cause I don't know how far they can really turn things around with a rookie quarterback, rookie coach, but it could be a really awesome matchup or it could be another rest game.
Yeah. Let's be honest. You're going to be resting your starters week 17 for sure. You're going to be resting your backups in week 17. That's where the Cardinals are going to be. The Cardinals could be something. It's just going to be tough for them this year. Got to take a quick break here. More 49ers Rams crossover after I tell you guys about Blue Chew. Guys, do you remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help you follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And they're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the cheaper, better, faster choice. BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Let's start personnel-wise with the quarterback and Jared Goff. And I've been a fan of Jared Goff since back at Cal, and I think he's a really good player, and I think he doesn't get enough credit for what he's doing as a really young guy coming into the league as a true junior and his development under McShay. I think it's been a good marriage. Where do you see Jared Goff right now? And I kind of like how his growth curve has sort of matched what the Rams did with throwing money and throwing trades at high-end talent. And then as those guys sort of leave the scene, Jared Goff should be at the point where he deserves that big money. And then now you have that relationship with your head coach and veteran head coach and your veteran quarterback running that show. Where are they at in that curve, and how confident are you in Jared Goff's ability to continue to develop?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for supporting Jared Goff and thinking that he's a decent and good quarterback, because a lot of people outside of LA don't have that opinion. It is a system quarterback. It is, you know, plug in me at quarterback with Sean McVay and you're going to be just fine. But Jared Goff, like you said, has done some amazing things, and the progression from the first year to year three has been amazing. Continues to get better. Touchdown to interception ratio continues to, you know, get smaller and smaller. He just looks more comfortable back there. He's always been able to move well in the pocket, even going back to his Cal days. You know, he's not fleet of foot by any means, but at the same time, he knows how to work a pocket and find space to get a throw off. So, and then the play action has been deadly for him. I mean, with Todd Gurley, and again, my confidence level with Todd Gurley is going to be important to Jared Goff, because he was so great on play action last year and really keeping teams guessing. You couldn't just, you know, assume it was a play action type of down because Todd Gurley was that good, and Sean McVay would kind of throw in a run from there from time to time out of that 11 personnel, you know, in a third down. So I'm excited about his progression, and you're right, it worked out perfect for throwing big money at the defense and at guys like Todd Gurley and Brandon Cooks, and his time's coming. The thing that makes me nervous is, you know, getting into that, you know, giving a quarterback 32, 35, 36, depending on who signs in the next, you know, little bit, what's Dak going to get, things like that, and how it plays in. But the Rams seem pretty confident from the top of the organization all the way to McVay, really saying that this is our guy. And as long as McVay is here, that he's going to be here. So he's going to get paid. And Todd Gurley talked about it on a recent podcast that he did, kind of saying that in the NFL, it's not always about the best player getting the most money. It's a timing thing. And for Jared Goff, he's probably loving this. If he can stay healthy this year, he's going to come into a big, big pile of money, and it's well-deserved. And, you know, getting to the Super Bowl in year three, NFC champion in the NFC West champion back-to-back years, potentially 3 years in a row. The guy's done a lot, and he deserves everything that he's getting to him, and he's been great. He's really developed and gotten a lot better. So I'm ecstatic with what we've gotten with Jared Goff, looking back to that 2016 season when, you know, I was kind of on the Wentz train and was a little disappointed when we went with Goff. And now here I am, you know, big, big Goff supporter. And I think that he's going to continue to make people understand. And then he's going to have to change some minds by just doing it on the field.
Basically, every good quarterback becomes the highest paid quarterback in the league the day he signs, and then it goes away. We've seen it with Jimmy Garoppolo already for like 5 minutes. He was the highest paid quarterback in the league. He's already sixth, and it's been a year. He won't even be in the top 10 this time next year, and that's just how it goes with things.
Crazy.
Yeah, and let's move on to the running back position. You mentioned Gurley and your confidence in him. I wish fantasy – I love – and I think a lot of people who play fantasy football hate drafting early in the summer because they have injuries and then they ended up getting all screwed with their team by the time the season starts. I love drafting early because I think there's a huge advantage. And one of those would be someone like Todd Gurley, who's falling to like the second round of fantasy drafts right now. I think I saw the other day someone posted on Twitter that he was the first pick in the third round in their fantasy draft. And I'm thinking that is insane because, and while maybe, you know, maybe there is something to his knee issues, it's just like, it's so overblown because every running back in the league has some health concerns to a certain extent because just the attrition at that position is insane. And we'll get to the rookie running back that the Rams have in a minute. But people who listen to this show know that I like Matt Breida quite a bit. And after training camp, it might not be the same discount. Right now, Matt Breida is probably on a huge discount. I think I've seen him mostly going as the third highest drafted running back on the 49ers, and I think that's robbery. So if I was drafting right now, I would draft both Gurley and Matt Breida at their current rates. And it just goes to show how much can change, and it kind of gets silly season with some of these things and people hating on Goff and people hating on Gurley and thinking maybe it's the demise of the Rams already. I'm not really so much buying that. Let me talk to you actually about that rookie running back, because everyone knows how good Todd Gurley is, and if he's doing backflips, then I think that tells you all you need to know about where he's at health wise and I think he'll be fine and he'll be a monster. But he's got a nice little backup there, the third round pick, one of my favorite running backs in the draft, and he was the guy I talked about. I didn't think the 49ers were going to take a running back, but I was like, Daryl Henderson is Kyle Shanahan's guy. If the 49ers did have to draft a running back, and then he went to the Rams, and I was like, oh no, that's perfect. And so even if Gurley does go down, that handcuff there, tell me about the early returns from Daryl Henderson. How's he looked in camp? That dude's explosive.
Yeah, it's exciting. And it's finally McVay finally got to draft an offensive weapon. We got Gerald Everett in his first draft, and we thought the return of the tight end for, you know, the Rams, and it really hasn't been the case. And this year they basically said, you know, we saw Cooper Kupp go down last year, and then the offense I don't want to say sputtered because we were still putting up like 30 points a game, but they definitely took a step back when they didn't have their three-headed monster wide receiver. The injury of Todd Gurley late, we had to go obviously get CJ Anderson. Brown was out. So they started to realize like, oh man, our offensive depth that we thought was a weapon is now a weakness. So let's go get another guy. And you're right, Daryl Henderson, man, a guy that averaged, you know, over 9 yards a carry. Yes, at Memphis. But man, this, if you watch the type of plays, I don't care where you're playing, it's about pure speed and moving around. You're not going to catch him. So I love what he brings to this offense. And people are saying, oh, well, they got him because he's going to, you know, they're really worried about Todd Gurley. I'm like, no, they got him because they just want one more guy to, you know, blow the mind of the D coordinator and be like, well, what do we do with this guy? How do we match him up against the linebacker if we put him on outside and put him in a route? So I love, especially with, you know, McVay loves those jet sweeps, whether he gives it to the guy or not. Just another guy to have to worry about on the field. So when those guys get to play together, it's going to be really fun to watch. And I'm expecting some good things from him. You know, I looking at yards and touches, I think the plan is to take a load off of Todd Gurley. Yes, it's not, you know, I'm not worried about Todd Gurley's knee, but there is, you know, there is some talk. So there is some concern, longevity in the season. So I expect some carries to go to Henderson, but I'm really excited about that backfield and being able to, you know, now give Gurley a break and put a guy in there that we expect to, you know, really not have a downtick in production and potentially even an uptick. So the home run ability that he brings is exciting. And Todd Gurley, if you can get him in the second or third round in your fantasy draft, take him and trade him to me. You know, I'll give you something good for him. But yeah. We're excited about the running back group here in LA.
Rams didn't have a first round pick. They continually traded back and added some later round picks. Taylor Rapp was their first draft pick, and he was near the end of round two. Maybe an under athletic but super instinctive safety out of Washington. Is Taylor Rapp somebody, and I know he's a guy that a lot of 49ers fans liked, is Taylor Rapp somebody who's going to play early for the Rams?
I think they're going to try to find a way to get him involved. You mentioned, you know, not being this wow factor. I mean, that's kind of why he dropped. It feels like, you know, at the combine, he didn't have these great numbers. You know, his 40 time wasn't awesome. All the drills didn't seem to really jump off the page. But at the end of the day, he makes plays. You watch the tape, and that's what, you know, Les Snead said. Everyone's really into these numbers, but go watch football, and you'll see that this guy knows how to be around the ball. And, you know, I'm sure Eric Weddle coming out of college, not everyone thought, oh, he's, you know, going to be this all-pro safety and you know, jumping off the page. And he's just a guy that finds himself around the ball at all times and make plays. So that's a perfect guy that he can kind of sit behind. John Johnson, the other safety back there, really young, growing, and to have two young guys be able to kind of learn from Weddle and grow in this system is really exciting, especially looking at who you got around you with Peters, Tlaib, Wade Phillips as the mastermind behind it on the defense. So excited, and they're going to find a way to get him in certain packages. And I expect him to go in and you know, make an impact, kind of like what we saw John Johnson in his first couple of years before he started to get a little bit more hype outside of LA. But he was being productive from the first time he's in there. And we expect that for Taylor Rapp as well.
This crossover episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you in part by our friends at Hotels.com and Blue Chew. Let's get into the offensive line a little bit, because there's an opportunity for the 49ers to have one of the better defensive lines in the league. Adding Nick Bosa, adding Dee Ford in the offseason, they already have DeForest Buckner in the middle, and depth on top of it with Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas. And by the way, I really like the Rams draft, even though they didn't draft high. They added a lot of good players. Bobby Evans, the number 97 overall pick, I think was a steal for the Rams. But there's the veteran bookends for the Rams offensive line, but what's going on in the interior? Are you worried about the Rams' ability to block DeForest Buckner?
Well, yeah, I worry about anybody's ability to block. you know, but at the end of the day, you know, really, you know, Brian Allen's going to be stepping into the center position. And the Rams have had this as an understanding when they drafted Joe Noteboom and Brian Allen last year, is that they weren't really sure if Whitworth was going to come back and what was going to happen with Saffold and things like that. So kind of stocking up some players. You mentioned going out and getting Bobby Evans, and I think that's kind of continuing to look forward when Whitworth is going to step out. So it's going to be interesting, though, because these guys, they have a lot of confidence in them. Cromer, our offensive line coach, has talked about, you know, what he's seen out of them and the growth just from, you know, practice and the few times that they've gotten into games to kind of in between plays and, you know, as people were limping off. But I think Brian Allen is definitely, in my eyes, I'm expecting almost an improvement from Sullivan. Sullivan definitely hit the wall about halfway through the season and definitely into the playoffs was kind of getting pushed back a lot into Goff. So Brian Allen has a chance to really make that position better. And we're really excited about what Noteboom can do there on the left side, right next to Whitworth. You got, you know, a great veteran to kind of understand, you know, the process from, but those guys next to each other, it's going to be interesting to see if they can really take that step, because, you know, this is a team that was NFL awarded, you know, best offensive line in the NFL. So a lot of expectations. They've been pretty healthy over the last couple of years. So we need that to continue. But there is some worry there that can they keep up to the pace of what McVay's offense is, protecting Goff, you know, getting holes for Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, you know, had 19 touchdowns on the ground last year, or 17 through on the ground and then 4 through the air. But he had some big holes, and hopefully we can keep that going. But there is some optimist here as far as, you know, what they can bring. But there is also show me, don't tell me first out here in LA as well.
You know, one more quick note on the offense before we move to the defensive side of the ball. Cooper Kupp, how's he looking health-wise? Is he going to be ready to go?
Oh, my gosh. So exciting to get Cooper Kupp back. And he's one of those guys that, you know, just listening into camp and seeing how he's progressing, they have to really hold him back a little bit because he's so excited to kind of get out there like most, you know, elite athletes. Let me go. But they've done a great job. And as I talked about the health, you know, our strength and conditioning coaches and our, you know, trainers, they've done such a good job kind of getting people ready and keeping them healthy and then, you know, rehabilitating them. So we have some big expectations. You know, Cooper Kupp started out hot last year. He actually, I think, still tied for touchdowns, even though he only played up to, you know, 7 games or so. So expecting big things from him. He's a big piece and, you know, kind of fits into that role of the third wide receiver. But Jared Goff's go-to target, you know, third down monster. When he went missing, our, you know, conversion rate went from, you know, dropped basically about 20%. So We're excited to get him back. And I think, you know, again, coming off the injury, you got to, there's always that big question of, you know, how are you really going to perform? But expectations are back to where Cooper was last year. Is everyone's expecting him to step in and go right back to the Cooper of old. Again, one of those show me, don't tell me positions for the Rams.
I think we talked about this a while back on the podcast, and I know my listeners at the time when the 49ers were hiring Kyle Shanahan and it was looking like he was going to be the guy, Wade Phillips was the one who was like, okay, this is the perfect fit. Veteran, grizzled defensive coordinator to go with the young, hotshot, offensive-minded head coach. And it just turned out that in that 2016 season, Kyle Shanahan's Falcons just went too deep in the postseason, and the Rams ended up stealing away Wade Phillips. I don't know if Phillips would have ended up signing with the 49ers if that wasn't the case, but it was like, oh man, that was just the perfect hire to go with that. And I like Wade Phillips' defense, but when you look at the roster here on the defensive side of the ball for the Rams, it's a really interesting mix of guys because half of them are household names that these guys are in their 30s and they were good 10 years ago. And he's like, and then there's a bunch of guys you're like, who's that? And they might lead the league in like hyphenated names. You've got Nickell Robey-Coleman. He's a good nickel guy. You've got Sebastian Joseph Day, or is it Joseph Day Sebastian? I can't remember which way that goes. And then John Franklin Myers. So a lot of hyphenated guys that probably a lot of 49ers fans listening to this podcast have never heard of. And of course it all starts with Aaron Donald. So where are you at with this group?
Yeah, it is pretty funny when you mentioned that. I didn't really realize that until I started looking at these names. I'm like, you're right. We've got a lot of guys out there with multiple names. And it is Sebastian Joseph Day. And we're expecting actually, you know, really from these core that the rest of the country doesn't know about, the Rams are really excited about them. You know, Joseph Day is one of those guys. John Franklin Meyer, another one, had a big sack in the Super Bowl and really saw a lot of good stuff from him and expecting him to kind of plug in and help out with Michael Brockers on the line. So there are some questions, though. Obviously, Micah Kizer is a guy that's going to be stepping in at linebacker as it looks right now, a guy who maybe played 5 snaps last year during the regular season, if that. So, you know, there's going to be some question marks. Corey Littleton is about to get paid, another guy that I don't think a lot of people know around the league, but stepped in and kind of took over that quarterback role of the defense. And in his first year, did amazing. He, you know, I think he leads the NFL in block punts. He's kind of one of those two-way players on special teams and defense. And then you sprinkle in those veterans. You talk about Weddle coming in there, Aaron Donald, the beast, who, you know, we don't even really need to talk about because everyone understands what he brings to the table. But there are some question marks, and that's going to be interesting. I think the linebacking core and, you know, what some of the young talent can do. Dante Fowler, another guy, one-year deal, big money. We got to see what he can kind of step up. But we're excited about this defense. I think they're growing. And they've got great veteran pieces around. So it's a good mix of youth and veterans. But you're right there. It's going to be interesting. Either we're going to have some breakout guys that kind of, you know, put their name out there, or guys going again, who's this guy? Is it, you know, why is he playing? So we expect big things. But again, you got to go out there and play the game. And the defense you talk about with Wade, I think, you know, going back to that, you know, when you talked about getting the hire there, McVay talked about it. First phone call once I got the job was to go pick up Wade Phillips. And you're right, that deep playoff run might have hurt in Atlanta as far as picking up some coordinators. But, man, we're glad that we got Wade Phillips because he goes back and they always say it, he's a player's coach. He puts these guys in positions to succeed. So now it's really up to the players to just kind of step up and make some plays.
Yeah, I did like what I saw from Littleton last year, and I think you clued me in one of the crossover episodes beforehand, and I was watching him, and he was a player. He was absolutely a player, but so many young guys that need to take that next step on that defense and so many old guys who need to not have already taken their last step. So that's one area I could see getting a little bit dicey for the Rams if things were to go south for them this season. It's a really talented team. I think it's going to be some fun matchups with the 49ers. Hopefully the 49ers are there with them, making those matchups fun, and it'll be telling where that game gets flexed to in Week 16. Hopefully we're battling for the top of the NFC West there Week 16 in a primetime matchup. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's definitely what we all want. We want that primetime matchup. And there's a little guy inside of me going, you know, let's rest up. I wouldn't mind a game to rest, and I wouldn't mind having a conversation with you late in the season going, oh, you guys gave it a shot. But, you know, at the end of the day, if this division is strong, I'd like to see some competitive football, because when we got deeper into the playoffs, everyone kept going, you know, look at these guys. They came out of division with teams that are drafting 1-2, and the Seahawks made a late push, and, you know, it kind of discredited the run even before it started. So you know, getting these teams all out in the West to kind of rebuild and be that division that everyone talks about is something we all want to see. And hopefully, like you mentioned, week 16, man, that could be a really awesome game.
There's probably some listeners out there that are like, wait a second. The 49ers are the team that's going to be resting their starters and the Rams are going to be fighting their way in.
Hey, you never know. That's what the crazy thing is. You know, the Rams a couple years ago came from 4 wins to 11 to getting a home game at the Coliseum. So it could happen like that in the NFL. You got like, you know, any given Sunday, like they always say. So we got to get to football and play it out and, you know, see how it shakes down. But right now it's the Rams with the crown and the NFC West, you know, swept the division last year. And I think they've got, you know, visions of trying to do that again.
And you're right. When it comes fast. And things change so much in the NFL year to year. So it's going to be fun to see how that changes this year and where the 49ers are at. Hopefully some good matchups there. And I will definitely be talking to you at least twice during the season before week 6 and before week 16. So looking forward to that. And good luck to you and have fun with the podcast. You're doing a great job over there with Locked On Rams.
All right. Appreciate it, Brian. And yeah, anytime. I always have a blast doing these crossovers. Best of luck and just stay healthy. That's what we're looking for. Some healthy players going in so we know what we're actually getting. And let's get to some football. We're excited. I appreciate it.
You can find Brad on Twitter at @LA_RamblingBear. Thanks so much to Brad for joining the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back next week right here on Locked On 49ers.